This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, folks, since we've been covering the Micah Miller case, there's so many different aspects to this case that have come up. And just the real true tragedy in this case that begs for more investigation. Because many people, and including people in Micah Miller's family, think there's much more to this case than is out there in the public. And when we start peeling away the layers of the onion, we start seeing some of the things that occurred in this case over a year and a half. The abuse that Micah Miller was suffering. And her recently documents have come out claiming abuse, and the fact that Pastor John Paul Miller is trying to hide assets. This is a man of the cloth. He loves money, you know. Documents obtained from Horry County Probate Court that outlined the concerns Micah Miller's immediate family expressed regarding her death and her estate in the days following her death. Micah, who was 30 years old, died by suicide at the Lumber River State Park in Robeson County on April 27th. Since her death, law enforcement has released the 9/11 call, security footage, and a timeline of events detailing the day she died. Prior to her death, Micah was in the middle of a divorce proceeding with her estranged husband, John Paul Miller, who is a pastor at Solid Rock Church in the Market Common. According to an affidavit released to ABC 15, Micah's sister, Sierra Francis, applied to be the special administrator of Micah's estate on May 2nd, less than a week after her passing and 4 days before the Robeson County Medical Examiner announced her cause of death as suicide. In the affidavit, Sierra claims Micah said she experienced abuse and violence from her husband, John Paul. Sierra said Micah believed people were following her and John Paul had hired people to keep track of her where she went. Sierra added John Paul later confirmed this information during a sermon she watched per an affidavit. The court documents state Micah told her sister that John Paul was moving assets that were in his name, such as his car, changing the deed to the house to the church, and transferring interest in Crocodile Rocks to one of his sons. Crocodile Rocks is a piano bar in Myrtle Beach. According to Horry County's online land records, the land was transferred from John Paul Miller to Solid Rock Ministries on December 15, 2023. In February of this year, the affidavit states John Paul removed Micah's personal belongings from their home while she was admitted to Waccamaw Mental Health Facility and left them in another person's apartment. An affidavit from Micah's brother, Nathaniel Francis, claimed John Paul did this to keep an eye on her. Micah was not aware her belongings were being moved until she was discharged from the hospital, according to Sierra's affidavit. Following this incident, Micah retained a divorce attorney and joined a new church. Documents state that before she was hospitalized, Michael was gathering evidence to bring to a divorce attorney, which allegedly supported the claims of John Paul's abuse, character, and associates he paid off or blackmailed. While she was admitted to the facility, those documents, emails, and files were removed from her phone, laptop, vehicle, and person were never recovered, per the affidavit. Michael was also reportedly not able to access her iCloud account, email, or Facebook profile. John Paul used at least one of Micah's accounts, causing any recipient to believe they were communicating with Micah, the probate documents read. Sierra Francis testified in her affidavit that Micah had expressed what she wanted life to look like after her divorce from John Paul, including part-time in Kenya and serving on missions. She added Micah also expressed she was fearful she would not make it to the divorce and her life would be taken from her. In his affidavit, Nathaniel speaks to multiple emails that were forwarded to him by Micah and John Paul. In one of these emails, according to the affidavit, Nathaniel says John Paul apologizes for causing damage to her vehicle, as well as writing that he was angry when Micah confided or put her family before him, which made him want to hurt her. The email continued, according to the court documents, "When someone hurts me, I try to hurt them back rather than forgive. And instead of me forgiving you, I just attack and try to cause pain." That is John Paul Miller's quote. Micah told her brother several times that she feared John Paul and just wanted to escape him. Nathaniel also testified in his affidavit that Michael had told him she prepared legal documents for Nathaniel to make decisions for her well-being. However, those documents were not located. The only legal documents discovered appointed Mr. Miller as her power of attorney, the affidavit reads. Court documents confirm John Paul was served with divorce papers on April 25th, 2 days before Micah died. In the days following her death, Micah's family, friends, and community residents held rallies and memorials calling for justice for Micah. On Monday, the Robeson County Sheriff's Office announced that they requested assistance from the United States Attorney's Office and the Federal Bureau of Investigation for the investigation in South Carolina. In a statement released Monday, the Sheriff's Office said they have been in contact with both agencies and requested help in the investigation. The full statement reads, "The Robeson County Sheriff's Office has been in contact with the United States Office, a State's Attorney's Office and Federal Bureau of Investigation in South Carolina since the early stages of Michael Miller investigation. Based on the information gathered during the investigation and jurisdiction reasons, the Sheriff's Office has requested the assistance of both agencies. No other information will be released at this time." So, as you could see, this investigation is clearly not close to being over. Micah's family released the following statement following the announcement of the feds being involved in the investigation. "The family is grateful for everything everyone has done to help find justice for Micah. They are aware that Robeson County Sheriff's Office released a statement about the FBI being involved. However, the family has no personal knowledge of the nature of any FBI investigation and therefore has no comment. John Paul Miller has not been arrested or charged with any crimes related to Micah Miller's death." So this investigation surely is not close to being over. Requesting the FBI to get involved, having the family involved, still watching John Paul Miller, the pastor of the church, who is playing games with the assets. All of a sudden, he's transferring things all over the place as to hide them from Micah's family. But the estate is the estate, and the moves that he makes right now can be looked upon perhaps as criminal. So Sheriff asked FBI and State Attorney General to join Micah Miller investigation. And there he is with a full lie on the screen. "I never hurt my wife." I mean, all of the things that we've seen in this case and the fact that he drove this poor woman who we see going into, in this photo, going into Dick's pawn shop to buy a firearm and at the counter purchasing a 9mm, and which is ultimately, if you believe that she in fact did commit suicide, that's the weapon that was used. So many things left unsaid in this case. So many questions we all have. Many people don't believe that she in fact committed suicide. Some people following this case believe that the phone call, the 911 call, was AI, artificial intelligence. You know that artificial intelligence could produce someone's voice to sound exactly like their voice. Was that accomplished in this case? I don't know. I'm just saying people are suspicious of it. And you can't blame people for being suspicious, because we as the public have been lied to so many times. Sana Elise Hulth Johnson gifted 5 Police Off the Cuff memberships. Sana, thank you so much. That's so much appreciated. Every day I see the membership, the YouTube channel membership, increasing, and it's all because of you guys gifting these memberships and people joining the Police Off the Cuff family. And so I so appreciate that. So, you know, folks, hold on to your hats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone. You're about to enter the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant's bike by there.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
You know, some of the things that we've covered on this show in regards to the Micah Miller case is just really heartbreaking. And the fact that now people seem to be more involved than perhaps they should have been while this was going on. I think that people should have known that Micah Miller was in crisis. And that was the time to really come to her aid. Now it's sort of too late. Except we don't want to see John Paul Miller, who I find to be just a fraud, just an absolute fraudulent human being. And just that says it all on the thumbnail you're seeing right there. I never hurt my wife, ever. And the statement even that his lawyer put out, that John Paul never, ever hurt his wife. He never, then in the same time, he has apologized for slashing her tires, for following her, for doing this and doing that, for posting topless photos of her on Facebook. Never hurt her at all. So this guy's a dirtbag. He's absolutely a dirtbag. And you know something? I am always, I'll take the hits for saying this. I'm always suspicious of preachers. Because I think many preachers become more about the money than they are about God, about spreading the word of God. And all of a sudden, they're wealthy and their church is flourishing. Well, how about the people that you're supposed to be helping? You know, that's very good that you own a club. In this case, he owns a club, owns a church, owns numerous properties. And then you see he's trying to hide them. He's trying to hide the assets so that he doesn't have to split them up. Just absolutely horrific. I want to play this. This is from the news station that reiterates that the assets are being hidden in this case.
Continuing our coverage on the death of Micah Miller, the wife of Solid Rock Church pastor John Paul Miller, who was found dead in Lumber River State Park in Robeson County on April 27th. According to the county medical examiner, Micah died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
And today we did obtain documents from the Horry County Probate Court through a Freedom of Information Act request. And they show that Micah's younger sister applied to be the special administrator of her estate rather than her husband.
The affidavits from Micah's brother and sister outline their concerns regarding her death and estate in the days following her death. ABC 15's Joel Vasquez is working for you tonight, looking into these documents. Joel?
Jen Connor, Micah's sister, Sierra Francis, claims in her affidavit that Micah told her about abuse and violence from John Paul. Now, court documents confirm John Paul was served divorce papers on April 25th, just 2 days before Micah died. Now, Sierra says Micah believed people were following her and that John Paul had hired people to keep track of her where she went. Also in the affidavit, Sierra says that Micah was fearful that she would not make it to the divorce and that her life would be taken from her. Now, Sierra testified Micah told her, quote, "If I end up with a bullet in my head, it was not me, it was JP." Now, according to the affidavit from Micah's brother, Nathaniel Francis, he received multiple emails forwarded to him by Micah and John Paul. Daniel's affidavit states that in one of those emails, he says John Paul apologized for damaging her vehicle, saying that he was angry.
See, right there in one of those affidavits, he apologized for damaging her vehicle. Doesn't that collide right with "I never hurt my wife ever"?
Angry at Micah because she put her family before him, making him want to hurt her. Also in the court documents, Sierra said Micah told her that John Paul was moving assets from his name, like his car and their house, to the church. Now, online records for Horry County show that their home was transferred from John Paul to Solid Rock Ministries last December. We have reached out to John Paul's attorney for comment, and we're still waiting to hear back. Jen, Connor?
Joelle, thank you. John Paul Miller has not been arrested or charged with any crimes related to Micah Miller's death. To read the full affidavits, you can find that right now on our website at WPD.com.
So, you know, that is the big contention that everyone's talking about, that everyone's, of course, pointing fingers at John Paul. But guess what? He hasn't been arrested and charged with anything. Well, what does that exactly mean?
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
What does that mean, that he hasn't been arrested and charged with anything? Does that mean he's innocent, or that he didn't do anything wrong, or that he perhaps has so much influence that the police never charged him, that he basically skated through all of this, that he never was charged. And we saw all the things that he was doing to this poor woman, Micah Miller, that she had filed for divorce, that the guy was stalking her, slashing the tires out of her car, showing up, basically stalking her. And yet he was never, ever arrested. I want to play for everyone so we get a good bird's eye look at this case, the timeline, because I think the timelines help us to understand everything that was going on in this case.
Sunday, October 8, 2023. Micah Miller and her husband, John Paul Miller, a pastor from Solid Rock Church, filed for divorce. They were married back in 2017. Micah's friend said she had led the woman's ministry and worship team at the same church. Thursday, February 8, 2024. Micah's involuntary hospitalized for 48 hours. Wednesday.
Does that count as hurting someone? Involuntarily hospitalizing them for mental health reasons, which she didn't realize she had till this guy forced her into getting admitted to this hospital. So do we put that on the ledger of having never hurt his wife?
February 21st, 2024, Michael calls police and alleges her ex-husband stole her car while she was hospitalized. She tells the officer.
There's number two. He stole her car while she was hospitalized. But guess what? This little sleazebag knows that he can't be charged with it. Why? Because it's community property. So if there was any allegations with this, it would be a civil matter. So because he owns the property, you can't steal your own property or it's marital property. So you technically can't steal it.
Officer, she has known her husband since she was 10 years old and that he, quote, groomed her, end quote, while she worked for him at Solid Rock Church until they were wed in 2017. John Paul tells the cops his wife suffers from, quote, episodes, end quote. Since the car is marital property, no charges were filed. Monday, March 11, 2024. Two incidents are filed with authorities naming Micah as a victim. She calls the police after finding her tire slashed with a piece of metal that was later identified as a tire deflation device available for purchase online. Mechanics then find a GPS device attached to her car. Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Someone at Solid Rock Church files a police report alleging Micah transferred donation funds from the church's Zelle and Cash App accounts to her personal account.
You know, I have that little allegation there, or a complaint report made that Micah had transferred money from the church's account to her own personal. I see that as a retaliatory complaint report made by her husband, made by John Paul Miller. Because again, well, if the car is marital property, doesn't John Paul Miller own this church? Then isn't that, so how is he making a criminal complaint against her? Couldn't she say this? Well, she can't say anything now. She's not with us. But couldn't that be the same defense? Wait a minute. This is marital property. How could you make a complaint report against me that I stole this? There's no way you could do that. So two can play this game.
Micah leaves her apartment in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, shortly after noon, and heads to a pawn shop to buy a gun. 12:34 p.m., Micah leaves the pawn shop and travels on a highway, stopping at a gas station to buy gas and a drink. She heads toward North Carolina. 2:54 p.m., after about an hour and a half, Micah calls 911 from a park over the state line, about 33 miles away from the gas station, and says she plans to end her own life.
Tell me what's happened.
I'm about to kill myself, and I just want my family to know where to find me.
3:03 p.m. Deputies with the sheriff's office head to Lumber River State Park, contact the park rangers, and begin a search within 30 minutes. Specialized units searching for Micah from the air are deployed. 3:50 p.m., detectives are approached by someone fishing in the area who says they heard crying followed by a gunshot. They also found a bag a few feet from the water's edge with Micah's ID inside of it. 4:23 p.m., a kayaker in the area calls 911 to report a body in the water. A perimeter is created to secure the area for an investigation. Within the hour, the chief of detective arrives and the medical examiner is called.
You know, guys, I know there's many people out here right now that are not buying all these details. Well, we have the pictures of her showing up at that pawn shop and walking in. Of course, that's all documented on video. And of course, here we have the transaction of her buying a Sig Sauer 9mm handgun. So I don't think we can question that. They found the receipt in the car. Now, she at some point goes to that Lumber State Park and makes the 911 call. And then she says to the 911 operator that she intends to kill herself. Now, the 911 operator, we criticized on a show saying that it didn't seem like she was quick enough to the draw to try to get her to talk her out of doing what she intended to do. But there could have been many things. It could have been she could have hung up right after that. We don't have total knowledge to that. And then the police showed up, and a witness, an ear witness, I'll call him, who was fishing, heard a woman crying. And then shortly thereafter, he heard a gunshot. And then they discovered Micah's personal belongings on the shore. And the police arrived in the scene, and at some point, they discovered her body in the water. And that's all outlined in this timeline. But so that is where many people think that, no, she didn't kill herself. Someone killed her. Someone showed up and killed her, and there's no witnesses to this. I mean, one of the things that made me, and I'm not suspicious, I believe that she committed suicide. But one of the things that made me think that they could have done a much better job with this investigation is that there was no autopsy. And to me, in a case like this, that's inexcusable. And that would have helped the police's case in being believed that what they said happened actually happened.
5:54 p.m. Crime scene investigation technician begins taking photos of the area, and they found Micah's car. Inside the car, investigators found a gun case in the passenger seat and ammunition in the center console. The receipt for the weapon and her gas station stop are found. 7:11 p.m. A gun is discovered in the water at the park. Its serial number matches the case found in Micah's car. Tuesday, May 2nd, 2024, John Paul Miller sits down with WPDE for an interview. During the interview, he mentioned some of the struggles he thought Micah had with mental health.
So over the years since we've been married, you know, some people struggle with high blood pressure, some struggle with diabetes. Her struggle was mental health. And whenever she stayed on her lithium, things were amazing. She'd come off sometimes and things would be a little unusual. Per her doctors, they told her even just recently, they had written that she was homicidal or suicidal. And she had struggled with suicide before. And each time, you know, helped her through it, took her to a doctor, and we got through it, and everything was fine. So this past time was still a shock, an incredible shock.
Sunday, May 5th, 2024. Friends and family rally outside Solid Rock Church. Some in Micah's family dispute the manner of death described by her estranged husband.
This has to be at least looked into deeply. There's got to be some accountability here because a tragic life was lost, and it's not just as simple as somebody had some mental issues.
A memorial service honoring her life followed the rally. Monday, May 6, 2024, the medical examiner releases Micah's cause of death. They conclude that she died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Micah's family meets with deputies about the investigation. John Paul asked the sheriff's office to meet with him in South Carolina. The investigation team said they did not plan to cross the state lines. Wednesday, May 8, 2024. Public records requested by WPDE are released, detailing the events leading up to Micah's suicide.
So this created a buzz. It has come to light that Micah Miller struggled with mental illness, specifically bipolar disorder, which went not properly managed, led to paranoid episodes and self-destructive behavior. This is the attorney for John Paul Miller. A self-inflicted gunshot wound, the finding completely exonerates Pastor Miller of any wrongdoing. These baseless claims, I don't think it exonerates him of any wrong. If you or someone you love is struggling with depression, going through a mental health crisis, you're urged to call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So I don't think that that anything exonerates Pastor John Paul Miller. Do I believe that he shot and killed Micah Miller? I don't. I don't personally believe that. But I think that the investigators left it wide open for people to believe that because they didn't carry the investigation out all the way to the end, to the logical conclusion. In essence, they didn't do the autopsy. They didn't do toxicology. So what do people think that are following this case when they think that there's something suspicious about that? If there's no toxicology done and no autopsy done, what are you hiding? And then they decided, for whatever reason, not to do an autopsy, not to do toxicology. And then the body is, it's disposed of, right? It's cremated. So whatever chance they may have had to do a proper autopsy is now gone. There's no way to do that now. So, of course, people are going to be suspicious. Why was there no autopsy? Why were there no toxicology? And what do we know? What more did this Pastor John Paul do? What other nefarious actions did he do? Why now did they call in the U.S. Attorney General and the FBI if this is a clean case and there's no questions to be asked? If the case would have been closed and everyone believed it was closed, then the FBI and the U.S. Attorney General's office would not be called into this case. Folks, if you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. Police Off the Cuff. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button. It's free to subscribe. Give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, share us with your friends and your family. Talk about us. Make comments in the chat. I love to read the comments in the chat, and I try to answer as many of them as I possibly can. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with 4 different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with count of 5 different levels. And folks in the chat have been doing an unbelievably generous thing. They've been donating memberships to people that aren't members of the chat. And I appreciate that so much. And that helps to grow the channel and hopes to grow our YouTube family. And I as I said, I really appreciate this. The family of the pastor's dead wife, Micah Miller, breaks silence. What else is he hiding?
And God is good. She's also been posting videos on her social media talking about leaving abusive situations.
It doesn't matter what gender you are, abuse is abuse. And you are the bride of Christ. And my Bible says that he took all the abuse you could think of for you so that you didn't have to live that life of slavery and bondage and pain.
According to a friend, Micah had left for a different church other than Solid Rock. John Paul gave an interesting perhaps the best word to describe it is an arguably strange eulogy, different eulogy at the Solid Rock Church, while family members held a different memorial service at the beach.
So you get tourists to take our picture, and I say, okay, thank you. She said, oh, no, this isn't good. Give it back to them, and they do it again, you know. But she was so creative. Everything she did was so creative. What's the next picture?
He reminds me of Stefan Stearns with this fake crying and this fake cracking of his voice.
What's the next picture? She'd stop. We'd be on the way to like a show or something. She said, stop. I got to get a picture. I said, we're going to be late. She said, I don't care. What's the next picture? Next picture.
John Paul also said that he wanted so badly for her to be alive that he repeatedly tried to see her body and even tried to raise her from the dead. There were reports that Reverend Charles Randall fired Miller as Solid Rock's pastor, but Randall disputed that during a recent sermon, saying, quote, I have released him from ministerial functions for a minute to get some healing and some counseling and some guidance. You can't go through these things like this and just step right back on the same day. Family and friends have started using the hashtag justice for Micah. Now, it's our understanding Micah's sister Sierra, who we're going to be speaking with in a minute, has filed a legal claim against both Miller and the church in connection.
You know, I just want to make a comment here. That statement, and you can actually see him or hear him say it and watch it when he was in the memorial service, that he tried to raise her from the dead. That's a psycho. That guy's nuts, you know? Like, dude, don't act like you have the power of the Lord. You're a man, and you're a poor man. And then when he said that he tried to raise her, like, you're out of your mind. And anyone that heard that should run out the doors of that church and never come back. Never go to that guy's service again. If you follow that guy, you're like a lemming, you know, following off a cliff. Because this guy's bad news. He tried to raise her from the dead. Yeah, that's real believable.
With Micah's death, court documents filed in Horry County Family Court accuse Solid Rock Church of colluding and conspiring with John Paul to defraud and deprive Micah. The Daily Mail also reported that Micah contacted the Myrtle Beach Police Department on April 8th, just weeks before her death, to report that she had seen a lewd photo of herself in a Facebook group and believed her estranged husband, John Paul Miller, had posted it. Well, after her death,
he actually admitted that he posted that. Is this the same guy whose attorney says he never hurt her in any way? Is this the same pastor who said, I've never, ever hurt my wife? Never, ever, ever. In fact, I'll put it right there. I never hurt my wife, ever. And yet he admits to posting a topless photo of her on Facebook. Oh, I guess that didn't hurt her. That was okay, right?
Beth Miller admitted that he did post the photo. In a letter obtained by News Nation, seemingly addressed to Micah, it reads, quote, I'm sorry for putting a picture of you on the internet. It was for less than 1 hour and immediately taken down. I was hurt that you were telling everyone horrible, intimate details of my past sin, and I just wanted to try and hurt you. Please forgive me. It was evil of me to do that.
So that's the guy that never, ever, ever hurt his wife. And now this is about the fourth or fifth one that we're coming up with. And so never, ever is zero. This is five. So it's 5-0.
Micah had also reported back in March that she found a tracking device on her car at least twice and said that John Paul had her involuntarily committed to a hospital and stole her car while she was gone. Now, in a statement, John Paul Miller's lawyer, Russell Long, said, quote, it has come to light that Micah Miller struggled with mental illness, specifically bipolar disorder, which when not properly managed led to paranoid episodes and self-destructive behavior. Some reports made by her in the recent past are nonsensical. He also added that a ruling of suicide by law enforcement completely exonerates Pastor Miller of any wrongdoing. Well, I am joined right now by Micah's father, Michael Francis. Thank you so much for coming on. And before we even get started, I just have to say, I am so sorry for your loss, your family's loss. And as I mentioned to you before we started recording, I know this can't be easy talking about this and having this amplified and everybody speaking about it. So I know this must be a very difficult time. So my heart goes out to you and your family, and really appreciate you taking the time to come here and talk a little bit more about it.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to start off. How are you and the family doing right now?
We're struggling. You know, we're more united than ever as a family. You know, this is something that has really caused us to drop any little petty arguments or something and focus on what's the important at this moment. So, you know, we have grieved off and on, but we've also been in fight mode off and on, as far as legally and, you know, and speaking out for Micah.
Let's talk about that, because I want to be very clear here. Despite the findings from law enforcement that Micah had died by her own hand, that the sheriff's office saying John Paul was not in Robeson County when Micah died, do you believe there is more to the story, correct?
Yes. It's there's a lot of details that they did not cover, and because it was equivalent in their eyes to previous self-inflicted wounds, I believe the law allows them to do less work. It does not prevent them from doing more work. And since there were multiple shell casings found and a live round found, it already didn't make much sense. So it would seem that they would automatically.
Well, you know, that's the first time I've heard anything about that there were multiple shell casings found and a live round. I've never heard that before. That could definitely taint this investigation a little bit, because with suicide, generally, there's one shot. That's it, you know. And another thing that we've never heard yet from the police or anyone else, the location of the gunshot. All they said, it was a self-inflicted gunshot. They never said what part of the body the gunshot went to. Is that important? Yes, it's very important. It's important from a scientific perspective. And it's important for the investigators to know all of those things so that they can make a conclusion as to, yeah, this was self-inflicted, or no, there's something suspicious about this. Having other spent shells on the ground? Yeah, that means a lot. That could mean someone else fired the gun, you know? This is the first time I've heard that. And then apparently the gun was found in the water. So some things that aren't explained, and the crime scene was never explained to anyone. They did that report that I have, I could show you later on, but it really wasn't a scientific report. It was more of a PR report and going over the investigative steps they had taken, but not from a scientific perspective.
Likely do a complete toxicology, not just blood alcohol, and a complete autopsy, which they did not do. And we're just devastated that they didn't, because John Paul rushed the cremation process. During the briefing, we pressed pretty hard for more information and such. And the sheriff's office was trying to compress the briefing for us. And then they gave us a flash drive. It doesn't sound like Micah during the 911 call. She's so slow and so, you know, but then later there are, I haven't even heard them myself, honestly. I have someone who's going through all that for me and filtering the information, because otherwise the more information I,
you know, I don't want to criticize a grieving family, but I think that you know, they're going up against a powerful, much more affluent person than them in John Paul Miller, and to take him on right from minute one, they needed an attorney speaking on their behalf that the police would have to back down to, because the fact that he, against their wills, apparently, against the will, had the body cremated, The only way they could have prevented that was to have their own attorney. And they, I don't know if they don't have the, I guess they don't have the means to do that. But that's, that would have been important because they could have prevented it. But this guy, John Paul, has more power, more influence, and apparently more money than them. So he, you know, does might make right? No. But you have to fight the might. And if you don't have the money to do that, you're going to get rolled over. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that sounds off. The more furious I get, and I need to be able to focus and control my emotions. So, but there was screaming going on and such. And that's not something indicative of a self-inflicted, you know, that's sounds like a conflict, sounds like a fight. And with the bruising on her hands and on her arm, scratches on her hands, indicating defensive wounds. So very frustrating.
What, when you say defensive wounds, is that something that was told to you by a medical professional when you talked about multiple casings there? Where did you get this information? And when you brought this information to law enforcement or brought it or mentioned to them, what did they say?
Okay, as far as finding out, the park ranger took us back to the scene and pointed out, here's where she would have been standing. Here's where the shell casings and the live round were.
That's unbelievable. I mean, again, it's the first time I'm hearing this. The shell casings? That's indicative of more than one shot. Why is that? You got to question it. Why is there shot? And the other thing is, if they are shell casings, were they fired from that 6 hour? Did they do ballistic tests on those shell casings? Brass catcher, the little imprints made on the side of brass from the extraction arm inside a 9mm handgun leaves a mark that is unique to the firearm that ejected the spent shell. Another comparison part is the primer. And because the hammer of the 9mm makes a very specific imprint upon the primer that also is identifiable to the very gun that fired it. I would want all of those test guns. And this is baffling to me that there was more shells than one. But the other thing is, to go with this, they have an ear witness. Did the ear witness hear more than one shot? That's a question I have, because I've watched or I've listened. The ear witness was interviewed by the TV station, but he wouldn't show his face, but he spoke about what he heard. All I heard him say was, I heard a gunshot. He didn't say shots. So all of this stuff, really, for all of us that are questioning the investigation, this needs to be answered. And right now, it's not answered well enough for my purposes, and for many of you either.
Which also doesn't make sense. She knew how to use a weapon. She got the weapon for self-protection. She told me days beforehand, you know, Dad, I really feel like I need a weapon for protection. And she knows how to use it. She's qualified. She's been through training. She's not going to charge the weapon and eject a live round. She already knows. The first rule of gun, you know, use is knowing the condition of the gun. So we got the information about the shells. I mean, I did it directly from the park ranger. And then when we brought that up to law enforcement, they just said, well, they had no answer. They really just had no answer why, you know, any kind of, not even a speculation. They didn't even say, well, she probably did this, probably did that. They just said, this is what we have. And I mean, there is what would it be, an apparent bullet hole in a tree, which I have a picture of. And they just didn't seem to put the effort forth. So we were very disappointed in that.
And the defensive wounds, was that from the park ranger too? Okay. Yeah.
We looked at her hands. During the viewing, we took pictures of her from the viewing. It was the worst day of my life. And she had scratches on her arms and on her hand. And the coroner in training had the chief coroner with her. But she spoke out and said, well, maybe that's from when they retrieved her from the.
You know something, Harry just said the coroner. The coroner system doesn't mean that person has any training whatsoever in forensics. It's sort of sad, but some states have the coroner system, and as opposed to the medical examiner system, where the person that would show up on the scene, and maybe he's using the incorrect verbiage, a coroner doesn't have to be a doctor. A medical examiner is an MD, pathologist. So of course you're going to want an MD doing this. And if this was a coroner with no training and no forensic experience, then I would have serious, serious doubts that any of this was done to the specifications that I would be used to as a NYPD homicide sergeant. Because we're used to it being done correctly and being done by professionals. So the first time I'm hearing there were spent shells on the scene, first time I'm hearing that, and I don't know where specifically the Mr. Francis is getting this from Micah's dad, that there was yelling, because the eyeball witness never said that. He said he heard crying. He heard a woman crying, and then he heard a gunshot wound. A gunshot. And he was a little bit scared, this guy that was retelling his story. So this is the first time I'm hearing this story. And oh, for some of you guys in the chat, it was asked, why did the family agree to sign off on the cremation with John Paul Miller, who was basically holding all the cards? And the reason was he would not allow them to view the body until they signed off on the cremation. And that's what we are being told. So again, he used his power, his bully pulpit, if you will, to get them to do what he wanted them to do.
The water. And I said, okay, of course, maybe. So, you know, was there blood in those scratches and such? They had no answer. Very disappointing. So I basically said the scratches indicate some type of scuffle or something, because the area where she was, there was no trees or anything anyway. There was no trees in the water. There was nothing there that would have scratched her hands the way they were. I mean, like yeah. This. You know? So, you know, it showed, it indicated that there was, you know, some type of pressure. You know, that's where the bruise was. And just, you know.
Well, Michael, here's the thing. I hate to ask you this. I mean, I know it must be difficult to revisit it. But when you mentioned the 911 phone call, when that came out, I think a lot of people who were suspecting there might be something there, they were convinced that that was the end of the story. When you mentioned that 911 phone call, you said there's something about the way that Micah sounded on the phone that sounded odd to you. What do you mean by
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Very slow speech. She's a very happy, go lucky, excitable person. And she, it was too slow. It was very slow. It was metered. It could have been done with an AI type of previous recordings where somebody would have had those words from her previously, or, you know, whatever. And so it just doesn't make sense that he would have.
You know, from the chat, Peg Chamorro, JP's attorney knows how to use AI. He's done things before with this skill, and he has some kind of ties with that park where she was killed. JP planned this so well that he will never be death. I don't know. You may have typo with that. You know, Peg, you know, there's some real questions here with the investigation. There's some real mistakes made. And that's why the police, we always use that expression, you need to cross your T's and dot your I's, because there's going to be all kinds of questions. Nina Chandler, if he sounded scared, wouldn't that hint to him being intimidated into saying he was only an ear witness? How do we know for sure he was only an ear witness? Could have also been an eyewitness. Well, Nina, it's just based on what, he's telling investigators. And when you interview a witness like that, this witness has no axe to grind. He has no part in this. He didn't know Micah. He was reluctantly getting involved. So a witness like that, you would expect to tell the truth and to tell what they in fact saw and what they heard. Well, he didn't claim to be an eyewitness. He claimed to be an ear witness, and he heard certain things. So, yes, he should have been really interviewed in depth. Barbara Miller, our scratch a scene on the pawn shop video. You know, I don't know if the video is up close enough. She's wearing a long sleeve shirt there, blouse, whatever you guys would call that. We can't tell in the pawn shop picture. Again, this is the first time I'm hearing about. Well, I did hear about bruising. Elaine McKenzie, his whole ceremony of her life, he did basically talked about everything about her that annoyed him. Yeah, I don't want to go there right now. Angelina Vito, Luke 8:17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Let's hope so. Let's hope that there's someone going to pay the piper for this. And even if it's J.P. Miller wasn't involved in the actual taking of a life, his actions contributed to this. And if, in fact, Micah took her own life, guess who drove her to it? Does anyone have any doubt? You know, someone wanted me to take a little poll. And the poll I'm going to ask is, put number one in the chat. If you think absolutely that Micah Miller took her own life, that it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So everyone that puts that, put a number one in the chat. So if she took her own life with a self-inflicted gunshot, put a one in the chat. If you think that there's a potential that she didn't kill herself, that someone else killed her and left the gun on the scene and staged a suicide, put a two in the chat. I'm just interested in that because many of us feel that that there's a lot of fugaziness here, you know, that there's a lot of room for something nefarious to have happened. And it seems that the investigation was not as strong, was not as complete, and many people don't have confidence that the police did the greatest job they could have done with this case. I'm seeing a lot of twos. I'm so proud American, number one. Let me just go back a little bit. Roberts, May Queen, one. Pauline Buckles, one. To Tony the Night Owl, one. Phoebe, two. Maui Smith, one. Bira Banks, two. Nina Shandro, two. Proud American, one. From without me counting them all up, it seems someone puts a 1.5. I didn't put that as one of the choices. I would, I'm going to be with the one. I think that she took her own life. I think it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But you folks that pick number two, I do not criticize you at all for that. I think there's a lot of room in this investigation for mistakes, for things that weren't checked. And just, again, not to beat a dead horse, but the fact that there was no autopsy is ridiculous in a case like this. And a suicide equals an autopsy. I just think it's outrageous. And I don't know how they defend that there was no autopsy. Dawn Claderman, I saw the video with the dark truck. There's many things that question us, many things that give us doubt, that raise us up and think, well, how do you explain that? How do you explain this? And again, this is the first time I've heard that there was numerous or more than one, two or three spent shells on the scene. Rachel De Vega, too. So you think it's fugazi. You think there's much more room for more investigation. And they're bringing the feds in, right? Karen Cruz, number two. Minnesia Fleming, too. Debbie Phillips, too. Sana Elise Hoth Johnson, too. Wow. You true crimers know your true crime. And, you know, when you think something and you stay with it. Shelley B. rushed for no reason. Elena Gonzalez, too. Lynn Iwaskow, too. Sherry Murray, too. Maui Swift, good to see you, Maui. I understand the family thinking differently, but the guy wasn't in that area. Yeah, I think that's, you know, there's a lot of things, Maui, that to have set this up, there were so many things that you couldn't control. And of course, one of them being, of course, the fact that Micah went into this store. How could they actually control that? I just want to get that off the screen so we could see it better. How could they control that she was going to go into a gun store, buy a firearm, and that it was all caught on video? Is that something, if someone conspired to that, could they in fact conspire and control this? And then that she drives to, you know, into North Carolina from South Carolina, about an hour away, into a park, and then calls 911 from that park. That's another thing that's not, you wouldn't seem like controlling that, that she drove into this park and then she calls 911 and she tells the 911 operator, can you track my phone? I want my family to know where I am because I'm going to kill myself. And a lot of you guys argue, wait, that could be AI. Yeah, it really could be. Because I've heard those phone calls with that totally mirror someone's voice, sounds exactly like it. Could it be? Yeah. So that's another reason why we're all screaming at the investigation. They should have slammed the door shut with a better investigation, but they didn't. Prying Paula. Oh, Prying Paula, always good to see you. If he had not rushed the cremation and refused to let the parents hear until they signed those papers, I would believe she did it herself. Now I'm suspicious. That's why you're prying Paula. You're going to pry open everything until you find out the truth. Phoebe, actually, I watched some of her videos and felt something was not right. You know, yeah, that could be. I mean, look, the more videos you watch, it seems like John Paul has mental health issues more than Micah, you know? So I'm very suspicious with that. Amusua Aaron, I need more info. If she did, he drove her there. I'm feeling to the, well, he was supposedly in another area, and that's verified by video. It's verified by license plate cameras. But again, he's not seen. His truck is seen. He's not seen. So to play devil's advocate, yeah, there's no 100% proof that he was in this area. Elaine McKenzie, he reminds me of that weak creep Malcolm Webster, serial killer of his wives. He had that many swarmy behaviors. Yes. But you know, there's the science of investigation, that's what should have slammed. Debbie Phillips, that's what it should have slammed the door on this investigation. Debbie Phillips, 9.999%. He or one of his followers did it. Wow. So I guess you're a number two person there that's choosing that. Elena Gonzalez, too. Shelley B., it's suspicious. Kara Marla, a one. Okay, you believe she, it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Pippi Pond, two. Elena Gonzalez, two. Karen Cruz, two. Everyone thinks not everyone. I think the twos overtook the ones. So we have some very suspicious people out there. Melanie Lynn, black truck at pawn shop, black truck at gas station, black truck at park. Photos, 22222. Wow. That's this. Debbie Phillips from the chat. How can a self-inflicted gunshot wound be in the back of the head? Debbie, it's never been revealed where even what part of the anatomy if it was self-inflicted, she shot herself. They've never told us that. So I don't know exactly where you got that from, but I was hoping that we would hear about the ME's report and the autopsy, but then we found out there was no autopsy. So where would we get that information from then? And they said the ME responded to the scene, but the ME in this case is maybe a coroner who we're not too thrilled with in the big city world. Coroners are second stringers, maybe third and fourth stringers. They're not medical doctors. They're not Barbara Butcher types with education to be a physician's assistant, and that they are medical legal investigators. Coroners don't have to have any of those qualifications. Coroners are politically appointed or elected. So if in fact it was a coroner and not a medical examiner, really fugazi. Phoebe, no autopsy may be due to the fact of a 911 call saying she was going to shoot herself. Yes, but, you know, an autopsy is always suspicious. And those that love the person that is deceased, they want to know for sure. They don't want to know that probably she shot herself. They want to know definitively from science, the science of investigation, this is why it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound. There was stippling on her skin. There was tattooing on her skin. There was gunshot residue on her right hand. She is righty, correct? I don't know if she is or not, but these are some of the questions that should be asked. Did they swab the gun for DNA? Her DNA was on the gun or it was not on the gun. Many different, we recovered the spent shell. In this case, this ain't spent shells. We recovered the spent shell and it was in fact fired from that Sig Sauer that she purchased that day. We did a ballistics test and it's both the brass catcher marks, the striations on the side of the casing, and the firing pin impression is unique to that gun. And it was in fact fired from the Sig Sauer that she purchased at Dick's pawn shop. So all of those things would make us feel better because that's scientific, but no one's come out and told us that. Sherry Murray, I do agree with you, Sarge. I'm just really confused with this case, shaking my head. T.D. Lewis, I was convinced at the beginning that she did this on her own, was driven to it, but now I don't know. I think there's some questions. I think, again, they could have closed the door on this if they would have did a more thorough, or maybe they did do a more thorough investigation, but they're just not telling us the results of everything we're asking in the chat here. Alana Marissa, something about Micah and her story saved my life. I brought my kids to safety and ran for my life miles away. I suffered for 11 years in an extremely abusive relationship. I'm grateful I'm alive today. Well, Alana, we're grateful that you're alive today, and we're grateful that you're here, and we're grateful and thankful that you shared your story with us. Because believe me, so many times I get notified in the chat or in an email, and people thank me, and I'm not the one. This is the community. The community, this chat, is very supportive of each other. A lot of good people in this chat from all over the world, and people that share their experiences, you know. It's incredible. And I thank you guys that do share your experience here. Meet the Hoyers. They're bringing in the feds for JP, not the Micah murder, allegedly. You know, Meet the Hoyers, I think that they're probably, this is going to open up a Pandora's box of investigation on that church. Because he's shown he's a dirtbag. So can people sometimes sick the FBI on people, sick the IRS on people? Well, it's a church. They don't have to pay taxes, which I find ridiculous. But that's very possible. But it sounded like they needed help also with the suicide investigation. Let me complete this here.
They go up there.
Do you have a theory as to what happened? Because authorities are saying, you know, they crossed out his alibi of where he was. Do you have a theory as to what happened? And again, I know this is sensitive, so if you don't want to share it, I understand. But do you have a theory as to what you believe happened to your daughter?
Okay, well, I'll share what we spoke to about with the authority, the sheriff in North Carolina. Also, as far as with his location, we've seen pictures of his truck. It had dark windows. Was it even him in there? Where's pictures of him physically there? We haven't seen those. They've not been produced. If someone else has them, we would like to see them to prove that he was there, because otherwise it could be anybody in that truck. So the theory would be that because she had multiple tracking devices put on her car previously, that she was followed out to the park or forced to go out to the park. And they either follow her out there or she, which is, there's no reason for her to go out there. That's the main point as well. She's never been out there. We don't go up there. It's not a family spot. And she was off the trail enough into a park ranger only area that nobody knows about. And so the theory would be that she was either tracked, and then they said, well, we didn't find a tracking device. Well, they could have removed it at the park. When the car was at the park and then it was collected by the authorities, they didn't check for a tracker, which blew my mind. They said, oh, we have all the evidence and everything. We asked them, was there a tracker on her car? And they said, well, we didn't check. And we were flabbergasted. This happened over and over during that interview. Why didn't you check that? We know that there was 3 or 4 trackers put on her vehicles. Why wouldn't you check to see if she was followed? They said, oh, there's no cameras, but we know she wasn't followed. Her car is just out here. And I said, well, there's no trackers. They said, no tracker. I said, well, they could have removed it after they did the deed. So then Micah's mother, Angelita, she said, you know, she said, pretend this is Micah's hand. And she asked me, grab this hand. And then she pulled it up, you know, and said, it looks like someone squeezed her hand and raised it up and shot. And there are defensive wounds from it and such. Mm. And that's the general idea of our theory, that somebody crushed her hand to hold the gun up to her head while she's fighting. Either them or someone else held her other hand or her other arm back, because there's bruising on it from squeezing. And they forced it to look like that was self-inflicted. And a couple of rounds went off during the scuffle. One ejected was live. And then it,
you know, I mean, I have to stop here for 1 second. They're giving like a theory, but and I bless the father, he just lost his daughter. But where is this multiple gunshot thing coming from? According to an ear witness, he heard one gunshot. So where is that coming from? I have a problem with that. I can't just buy into this. And I think this, from the investigative perspective, and show me the evidence. I'll jump to be a number two. I'll jump to two, that this is fugazi. This needs way more investigation. But I did never heard from any witness before or the police that there was multiple gunshots. This is the first time I'm hearing that.
Finally happened the way they would want it to happen. And then dumped her in the water, probably 40 meters away from where the shell casings in the gun was found. The water doesn't flow there. It's a slough. It's still, it just sinks. And it actually flows when it sinks, when it recesses, it goes the other direction from where she was found. So her body, even if it was put in the water right there, would not have flowed the direction where she was found. It would flow the other way. So it would be possible that the incident occurred right there, and the shell casings, and then the gun was dumped in the water right there. And then she was carried farther, 40 meters back into a little bit more secluded area where she was found.
So Sierra Francis now joins the conversation. This is Micah's sister. Sierra, thank you so much for coming on. As I told your father, I just want to say again, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry for what you and your family are going through. Our hearts go out to you guys. And again, really appreciate you taking the time and being so generous with your time to come on and talk a little bit more about this. So I've already spoken to your father a lot about what you guys believe might have happened here. I want to talk to you about this legal claim that you have filed against Mr. Miller and the church. Walk us through what that claim is and what you're hoping to get from that.
As far as the, you know, the legal side of things, I don't have, you know, perfect details of everything. I'm just trying to pick up where Micah left off and make sure that justice is served and that we are able to, you know, remain over her estate and make sure that it is used or allotted in the way that she would have wanted it to.
Do you know anything about the FBI being a part of this investigation now? Were you told anything about that, what they might be looking into?
So we are aware that Robeson County did come out and say that the FBI is involved, but as far as, you know, what they're investigating and the extent of their involvement, the family's not sure.
Okay. I wanted to ask you this, both of you this. So look, the main argument, and it's being put forward by Mr. Miller, and what we've seen is Micah, they say, had suffered from mental illness. Do you know anything about that? Anything you could tell us about that? Because one of the things that Mr. Miller has said is he had this power of attorney set up for that reason. What can you tell us about what Micah might have been going through?
So before Micah married John Paul, she had no signs, no history, no indications of mental illness at all.
And why did she presumably agree to a power of attorney? Usually the person who sets up would have to agree to it and sign to it.
He had every way to control her, and he was very good at manipulating the situation.
And she thought that he would be doing the right thing. She wanted to trust that Mr. Miller Jr. was actually doing the right thing for them until she got away from him and had more time when she spent more time with us. To peel off some of those layers and realize what was going on. And then she started becoming herself again and got a job and everything else and was doing fine and was happy-go-lucky self again, excited about the future, and which is something he did not like. Just very terrible.
There are these allegations that he groomed her. What do we mean by that?
He had his sights set on her from a very young age. I would guess probably 14 years old, 14 or 15 when we first came to the church. And he, you know, he made sure that he kept her exactly where he wanted her to the point of who she married, what job she picked up after she was, you know, 18. He got her married, and then he made her his secretary and his babysitter and his let's go to lunch person, and oh, you're so beautiful.
And then when she was married, same thing, best friends with her husband, her previous husband, and manipulated the situation where he could have him doing something because he was his right-hand man and then spend time with Micah alone, which is very inappropriate.
And to be clear about that, are you alleging that he engaged in criminal contact with Micah? And if so, again, my understanding is there's no time bar in South Carolina to bring charges. Is this something that you're speaking with about authorities with?
I don't think he physically had a relationship with her until after she had already been married to Jeremy.
I wanted to ask you about something else. And this goes back to that idea of why he says, and correct me if I'm wrong, why he says he had to set up the power of attorney. He was concerned about whether Micah would be taking money, because there was this allegation that Micah was a suspect in the theft of $1,200 in donations for the Solid Rock, this missionary efforts. I understand you want to clear the record up on that.
That was investigated. I have seen, police excerpts on that. And from what I've seen, to best of my knowledge, it said that that was just a domestic dispute and there was no criminal charges to be filed.
Okay, and also
that seemed like it was a retaliatory complaint report based on the fact that she was making reports against him that were very much founded. So perhaps he made what we would call in the biz a retaliatory complaint report to try to get back at her for making police reports against him. So that's a good possibility.
Also, as far as the amount that was mentioned, Micah was having trouble with the websites releasing the money to her from the donations.
Such as Venmo or stuff like that.
Right. They were holding on to those funds, as they do for like the 3-day period or whatever, gaining interest. And so during that period where the money didn't show up yet, he was accusing her of stealing that money. And then after the fact, after she's passed, all the money showed back in except one penny.
Not to mention that money wasn't money that was donated and she was stealing it. This money was, hey, I've put $600 out of my pocket with the intention of, hey, you know, I will be reimbursed from this because that's what she was told. Hey, spend your $600 to purchase, you know, all the donuts that you're using for fundraising. It's a charity. We'll make sure we reimburse you. So it's not even stealing. It's sure. reimbursement for what she's right. already put into.
Right.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you about this letter that came out that he had seemingly apologized to Micah for what he said was releasing a nude photograph of her on the internet. What was your reaction to that letter?
He's a faker.
Yeah.
He likes to band-aid everything so that he can still control and manipulate people.
I told him straight up because of his behavior before, okay, now go ahead and go cry in front of your church and apologize like you always do. Mm-hmm. And he didn't during the sermon and the his bombshell drop at the last point. He didn't do his fake sniveling, crying, fake stuff. He just, you know, until later. But he would, numerous times, he would go in front of the church and say, I'm sorry, I did this and I did that. I'm sorry. If you don't want me to be the pastor, I'll leave. And they would say, oh, no, you do such a great job. And then it would happen again and again.
Right.
And if they did stand up against him, he would threaten them with removing them from the church, or he would just straight out remove them in front of everybody. And then later in sermons said, oh, well, they just left for no reason. I don't know why they left.
Michael Sierra.
I don't know anything that comes out of his mouth. It's all backwards.
Well, Michael Sierra, here's what I wanted to ask you. This is going to be an ongoing discussion. And I was hoping, and first of all, thank you for being so forthcoming to come on to explain this. Give your perspective on what's happening as this progresses. Can we keep an open line and can you come back on and let us know any updates that are.
So I think that this was pretty enlightening in a lot of ways. Certain things I heard during this interview that I in fact did not know before. Fire Opal from the chat. He wanted to destroy her and unfortunately he had the power and means to do so. He's a demon and doesn't belong anywhere near a church. Fire Opal. I 100% agree with you. I think you're right on target here. Tiff Knox, who friggin' does that? Prying Paula, Melissa, if I were going to off myself, I'd make sure all of my bills were paid and my last wishes were in order. Oh, my God. Eve Phelps, if they are metal, how is she in the water and they are on the land? I don't know the context of that question. Simi Sharp, such a sad story, absolutely. D Random, something new coming out every day about this case. Well, you know, I think we got a lot to still see in this case because I believe that the FBI is brought in, and we don't know specifically if they won't go over the alleged suicide investigation. I think that that's probably where they should start. There's a lot of information. If they're looking into this church from a criminal perspective, usually the FBI doesn't get called in for something like that. But crossing borders for criminal enterprise, that brings in the FBI, right? Elaine McKenzie, this guy must have been fuming. His beautiful daughter landed up with such a weirdo. Micah's sister seems very level-headed and normal to me. Hey, you can't control who your children marry, right? Caramola, saying I'm sorry without change behavior is just manipulation. 100%. Saying sorry doesn't erase anything, doesn't change anything. That's very good, you're sorry, but you still did whatever you did that caused you now to apologize. Bira Banks, Also in a sermon about authority, he said, I've just been thinking the other day, would you be able to slot yourself to a spiritual authority who committed murder? Very interesting. Wow. That is very interesting. That sounds like what we would call a Freudian slip, you know. Mama's house, 392. Micah told her dad she was going to buy a gun for protection. Bira Banks, so many interesting things he says in his sermons. But, you know, Bira, as I said, if I was a member of that church and seeing what I see with this guy, I would sprint out the front door and never come back, you know, because I don't like what I see. I don't like, this guy is not a man of the cloth. He's a man of money, you know, like so many preachers are. I have to give them all that that little moniker. If they're in it for the money, then that isn't in the Bible. Don't people in religion are supposed to take a vow of poverty? Isn't someone that is in it for the right reasons more believable than someone that appears to be in it for the money? I think so, you know. Tiff Knox says, pay to pray. Yeah, it seems like so many religions have gotten like that. Yeah, pay to pray. Pay to pray. That's a good term. And unfortunately, so many of them are like that. Dust is wiped off our feet. Exactly, sir. Elena Gonzalez, if she had this plan, I believe she'd leave a goodbye letter, in my opinion. Vow of poverty, Susie. Yes, yes, Susie A. Read the Bible. People that are religious, they're supposed to take a vow of poverty. Why do you think even like nuns and priests, they're not supposed to be rich or get rich off of their religion, you know? And they were supposed to, back in the day, take a vow of poverty. Now it seems like it's the business of religion, you know? Just Robin, one of my former bosses, always said that the church was the biggest racket out there. JP has given us proof. Yeah, I think you're right. And look, I don't mean to disparage all religions. There's many religions that are good religions and do a lot of good things for people and help people. And that's really what a religion should be doing, not trying to collect the most money at 10 o'clock mass or whatever, you know. Donald Swanky, there is no church, it's an entertainment club with just enough scripture to keep the 503c tax-exempt status. He knows this and is happy to focus all dollars and attention to him. Wow, that's sad. T.D. Lewis, J.P. was just evil. Yeah. Kim Alliston, wish all preachers would take a vow of poverty. When we pray for wisdom, we will know a true preacher. Although I believe there is no perfect church, there are some good preachers. Absolutely. Kim Alliston and everyone in the chat, please say a prayer for Kim Alliston, who's had some health issues of late. And we all pray for her full recovery because she's a wonderful woman and a great, great supporter and great person to have in the chat. She's knowledgeable and she's just a great person. So if you can, remember when you are saying your prayers, include Kim in your prayers. I'd appreciate that. Nina Chandra, why do they have a collection plate passed around if they shouldn't collect money? I didn't say they shouldn't. Churches need money for certain things, but some of them, when you see pastors driving around in a Mercedes, something's wrong there. Something's wrong, you know, when they got a Mercedes car and you're driving your Honda Civic. I think there's something wrong there, you know. No one's saying that churches don't have to collect money. They do. Lula Esparza, there are sincere Christians, but not be many. Elaine McKenzie, I'm not really involved with religion, though. I was raised Christian. I'm glad I don't have that craziness in my children's life. They live life through humanistic morals, not fear of so-called hell. Yes, fear, right? Fear is how a lot of things are motivated. People get motivated through fear. Bira Banks, people in that church also signed over their life insurance to the church. Oh my God, that's crazy. I hope that's not true. I really hope that's not true. Mercy's church has been a hiding place for abusers for long. Not things are coming out because of God's mercy. So only look to him, not people. Otto CDW. My opinion, he had someone follow her, or she was lured there. She didn't know where she was. I think a struggle ensued, hence the bruises, and they held her hands and made the gun shoot her. I can't say that 100% didn't happen, but the investigation should have been able to disprove that, you know. Prying Paula, it's not the Bible that says we need to take a vow of poverty. It's the Catholic Church. Somebody needs to tell the Pope. That's for sure. They didn't get that memo. They also didn't get that memo. So, folks, I want to thank everyone for showing up today. I mean, I had thought that we had covered almost every possibility with this case, but apparently we haven't. And there's new things coming out all the time in regards to this case. And I want to thank all the new names and new faces I see in the chat. And again, if you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, give us a thumbs up, ring the bell. It's free. And we'd love to have more and more off the cuffers, as I call them, police off the cuffers, you know, joining our family here and keeping this show and making this show grow and be stronger all the time so we can bring you hopefully outstanding content. So, guys, thank you so much for coming by today, tuning in. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great night, and God bless everyone. One episode just ain't enough.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.